Hi, good morning. I am Janusia, and I am one of the leaders of the Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and would like to welcome you to this Sunday morning. As you may know, during this autumn, we are going to concentrate about prayer. And this morning, we are going to especially focus in adoration. So let's praise and worship and adore the Lord for who He is. Andrew is going to lead us in prayer, followed by a video with a number of people from our church reading the beginning of the Lord's Prayer in their own language. Today is Ability Sunday, and we are going to hear Anne talking to us about this day.
Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning with thankfulness in our hearts that we are able to meet together, even though separated, in this land, in the places where we are. We give you our adoration, Lord. We consider your creation. We consider what we can see, the beauty, the majesty. We remember your character, your love, your forgiveness, and your patience to us, reminded us in the Psalms that your love is higher than the heavens are above the earth, and that you have taken our sins away from us further than the east is from the west. Father, we pray your blessing would be upon us as we participate this morning, as we bring our acts of worship and adoration to you. All those that are participating on screen, and for those of us at home, please give us a sense of corporate worship, of corporate participation. We ask that you'd give us teachable hearts and open minds to understand what you would have us understand and grasp and hear today. We thank you that there is nothing impeding us being here where we are, listening and watching what we are watching and learning today. Please accept our offering of adoration, our thoughts, and help us to direct praise and worship to you this morning as we gather together, though separated. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Vater unser im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name.
Unser Vater, was in die Himmel ist, laat uw naam geheiligt word.
ऐ हमारे बाप, तू जो आसमान पे है, तेरा नाम पाक माना जाए.
ए तो मातु, मातुआ, पापी तरानी, किया तापु, तो इंगो.
Pai nosso que estás no céu, santificado seja o teu nome.
我们的天父啊, 你的名是神圣的.
Padre nostro che sei nei cieli, sia santificato il tuo nome.
Svargadalli iruva namma tande nimmalli irali.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Good morning, everyone. Today on Ability Sunday, we take the opportunity to celebrate all God's people as we recognize that we are all made in God's image. A day to remind ourselves how each and every one of us, both abled and disabled, is fearfully and wonderfully made by a loving God. Psalm 139 reminds us that God knew each one of us as we were being created and formed. He saw our bones grow as they took shape. He could see our bodies growing as each day passed. He could see that nothing was missing, and he already knew the way we would grow and be the person we are, how we would look and how we would think and feel. He gave each one of us a unique personality and individual gifts and talents. God doesn't make mistakes, and each person is a precious life to Him. It allows us to reflect on how we create a place of welcome, a church where people with disabilities are valued and enabled to express themselves and build confidence, offering opportunities for friendship and communal experience. We think about being an inclusive church that focuses on the gifts and talents of all people, rather than see impairments and weaknesses as barriers, to actively enable everyone to fully participate in the worship, the life, and the work of the church. And finally, it's a day when we can reflect on life outside our church walls, to remind ourselves again that each life is precious and a gift from God, to actively seek to show God's love by supporting those with a disability, whether that's physical, mental, emotional or social, and those who are vulnerable people in our local community as much as we can.
Let's join together as we sing one of the Light Group's favourite songs, My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are questions of truth will hold. The great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubles. Oh, you are the peace in my troubles.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, from verse 8 to 18, and then from verse 23 to 36. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. And then verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Let us pray. We pray for all the people who have been affected by COVID-19. We remember the people who have long-term symptoms as a result of the disease, and pray they will become well again. We pray for the family and friends of people who have died from COVID-19, that they may know your comfort in their lives. We pray too for peace for people who are anxious.
We pray for people who feel isolated and lonely at home. We give thanks for the love that people have shown by regularly keeping in touch. We remember that not everyone can use Zoom, and some people find using the telephone difficult. We look forward to the time when everything will be back to normal and we can see our friends at groups like the light again.
We pray for our community, that we will all be responsible in keeping each other safe, that we would follow the rules about wearing face masks, social distancing and self-isolating, so that the number of cases will not start to rise again. We think of the communities in local lockdowns who are not able to visit family and friends. We pray that early measures taken will be effective and bring the number of cases under control. At this time, it is important we do not forget the people who were already struggling before COVID. We thank you for the work of community projects such as the Food Bank and the Big Local.
We remember and give thanks for members of the NHS and all key workers for the work they do to keep us safe. Help us get better and allow life to go on. We pray especially for scientists working to make a vaccine. We pray that they would be successful soon.
As schools have returned and university term is about to begin, we think of students, staff and parents who are anxious. We pray that the new routines can be followed and that steps taken to limit the spread of COVID-19 will be effective. We pray that despite the new rules, students and staff will be able to relate well and work productively. We pray that everyone will quickly adapt to this new way of living.
We turn our attention to the wider world. We remember the effects of COVID-19 in poor countries of the world where there is no NHS for these countries. We pray for good leadership, that people will understand and be able to follow the rules. We pray that richer countries like ours will help.
We thank you that you tell us to love each other. Help us to notice when we are being unloving and help us to change. With your help, may we put your commandment, love each other as we love ourselves, at the centre of our lives. Amen.
Now we are going to read the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, show us who you are. Make the world a good place. Do what is best here on earth. Make it like heaven. Give us everything we need. Give it to us every day. Forgive all the bad things we do. But help us not to want to do bad things. Help us to forgive people who do bad things to us. Keep us safe. You can do everything. You are a beautiful God. Amen.
Praise him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp. Praise him on the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments too. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Good morning. My name's Crispian and I'm on the leadership at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Today we begin a journey into prayer, using the Lord's Prayer to guide us. And we begin by exploring the first line, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. It says two things that are vital as we begin to pray. It addresses God and calls on him, and it recognises who he is by recalling that he is holy. Now, I don't know if you are a particularly artistic person or creative, or just like looking at what others have done. Whether you like paintings or music, or like reading stories or poetry. Whether you enjoy decorating your home and making it look good, or working in the garden to make it just how you would like it to be. Maybe you like to dress well and have just the most lovely clothes, or like looking round marvellous buildings, or simply going out and looking at nature. But I want to ask you a question. What is the most beautiful thing you have ever come across or seen? What has captured your imagination, your senses? What has impressed itself upon you in such a way that you want to keep that image before you, to enjoy it, to remember it, to take pleasure in it as something really wonderful and worthy, and in its way, perfect? It's not an easy question to answer, as we probably know so many wonderful things that we've seen and heard and experienced. We will all come up with different answers, I'm sure. For as they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What one person finds beautiful, another will just pass by. I once tried to write down on paper a list of all the things that can go to make something beautiful. A bit of a bold task, you might think. And the list includes some opposites. Something can be beautiful because it's simple. Or it can be beautiful because of its complexity. Something can be beautiful because of its symmetry. Or it can be beautiful because it is asymmetric, or because of what it is placed next to and contrasted with. But perhaps the real key to appreciating what is beautiful is the effect the beautiful thing has on our emotions. It's delightful to look at, delightful to behold. It's enriching, wonderful, profound. It's awesome, inspirational. We are encountering something that is in some way perfect. Here is perfection. This is really beautiful. And having seen something like that, we want to tell others. Come and see this. I really like that. You should hear or read that. And we extol its virtues as we see them. So here's another question. Have you ever thought of God as beautiful? When the people of God in the Old Testament made a place to meet God, a place that became where God dwelt in their midst, they made it to be beautiful. First of all, the tabernacle, a tent that the Israelites carried around with them as they travelled in the wilderness, and later the temple, was made with precious things. They were made to the highest standards their craftsmen could achieve. They were ornate and beautiful. They represented the dwelling place of God. Then at the centre of both the tabernacle and the temple was a space that was empty, except for the Ark of the Lord. The space was called the Holy of Holies, and the only thing placed within it was the Ark. The Ark itself was ornate, adorned with two cherubim and covered in gold, the most precious thing they had, which shines out as it reflects any light upon it. The Ark contained the law, the covenant between God and his people. And God was seen to be present between the cherubim on the top of the Ark, with the mercy seat in between. Nothing else competed with God in that space. Nothing else was perfect enough to be in that space. God is far above and separate from his creation, especially his creation as it has fallen into sin and broken the covenant laws of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. God is perfect and mankind is not. And God's supreme perfection is expressed in his holiness. There are many superlatives one could use when describing God. His perfect love, his eternal being and nature, that he is all-knowing, that he is all-powerful, that he is perfectly righteous. And these are all summed up in saying God is holy. And saying God is holy speaks of his awesome, perfect purity, his moral excellence, his complete freedom from anything unworthy or corrupting. He is utterly separate and completely other from anything else. Someone once said that as the sun's rays combine all the colours of the spectrum, so God's holiness encompasses anything else we might say of him. All his other qualities, his acts, his thoughts, everything about him, they are holy. He is holy. And we can only picture the sense of what that holiness is in forms we can barely appreciate. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that God dwells in unapproachable light, a picture of his holiness. Hymn and songwriters try to put into words what God is like. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty victorious, thy great name we praise. My father told me that as a child he did not know what all those big words meant. But he thought to himself, if it needed those big words to describe God, then he must be truly marvellous. The passage we read in 1 Chronicles 16 is a psalm of praise that David had written when the Ark of the Lord was brought up to Jerusalem to be installed in the city, picturing God's presence amongst his people in the city of David. It is a psalm of praise that ties in with the first line of the Lord's Prayer as we are thinking of it this morning. Summarising what David says in this psalm, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, our Father." He thanks him and praises him for his wondrous works. "Glory in his holy name," David says. "Hallowed be thy name." "Let your hearts rejoice in seeking the Lord. Remember his wondrous and miraculous works. Remember the judgments he has spoken in his law. He is a covenant-keeping God, keeping his word forever. He has brought us, as he brought Israel, to where we are today. He protects us and keeps us. He is the one true God. He is the Creator. He made the heavens, the whole universe. Therefore, ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength due his name." And then in verse 29 he says this, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Some translations have splendour in place of beauty, but it's saying the same thing. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've considered the Lord's holiness this morning, and I've asked the question, have you ever thought of the Lord as beautiful? As we come before the Lord in prayer, we must begin by recognising and reminding ourselves once again who it is we come before and worship him in the beauty of holiness. As we say, "Hallowed be thy name," for all the reasons and more that David puts in this psalm. Matthew Henry puts it the other way round and says, "Holiness is the beauty of the Lord. It is his astonishing, awesome holiness that makes him a being of great and unsurpassed beauty. And out of his beautiful holiness comes his great and fierce love for us men and women who fall so far outside his beautiful holiness as we live our lives day by day." David in this psalm recognises this. Toward the end of the psalm he says, "Even all nature, all creation shall declare his greatness, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good," he says, "for his steadfast love endures forever." His judgment and his love both come from his holiness. Then David puts in this additional note, "Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Then all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. All nature rejoices, for he comes to judge the earth. We who are not as holy as God is holy need saving from that judgment. But then, when we look again at the Lord's Prayer, we see something rather surprising. We do not begin this pattern prayer from Jesus by saying, Almighty Lord, our God. We begin by saying, Our Father in heaven. We recognize he is holy, and we praise and worship him as the absolute Holy One. But we begin by calling on our Father to hear our prayers. And it's saying something much more than just acknowledging that he made us. It's calling him Father as you would a human father. How is this so? Isn't that a bit presumptuous to call Almighty God our Father? Well, it's not, because of two things have come together to do something rather wonderful and very beautiful. God's holy, righteous judgment on our unholy lives has come together with God's intense and perfect love for humankind, the pinnacle of his creation, to make a way for us to come into God's presence and not be judged, but be loved as beloved children by God. And God achieved that by sending his own son Jesus to make atonement for our sin on the cross of Calvary, to make a way whereby we can come into his presence and not be judged. It's summed up in what is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Jesus was God's answer to David's prayer to save us from judgment. To those who believe, God gives his Holy Spirit. And Paul in Romans chapter 8 spells out what this means. Paul says, The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. In giving us his spirit as we believe in Christ, God adopts us as his children, so we may quite properly address him as our Father in heaven. And he gives us all the blessings and the rights of inheritance of children that are given to Christ as his only begotten Son. This is surely something to also praise and thank God for when we pray. So when we come before God in prayer, we should have so much to say to him before we begin to ask or speak on behalf of others or ourselves. And it's all encompassed in that opening line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, to acknowledge all he is and all he has done for us, for sending Jesus to be our Saviour so we might come before God as our Father and not as those who must fear judgment. It should not be hard to pray if you remember who it is you are praying to. He loves you and wants you to have fellowship with him. It just needs you to do it and to pray to him. Shall we pray to God now? Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, it astonishes us that in your perfect and pure and beautiful holiness, you call us to have fellowship with you because you love us. We know, Lord, that you love us because you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Saviour, that we need not fear your holy judgment, but come before you, calling you our Father, Abba Father. And we know, Lord, that you will hear us because you have promised to do so. So we thank you, Lord, this morning that we can come before you. And we pray, Lord, that as we go from wherever we are just now into the week ahead, that we may go with you beside us, that we may remember all that you've done for us. And with thankful hearts, Lord, live our lives before you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We are coming to an end of our service this morning. We would like to say thank you to all of you who contributed for the service today. May God bless you and keep you and be your strength during this week. We are going to have the final blessings with the life group.
Shine on you, may the Lord bless you, may